You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh, and this is Steve Sokol sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. Joining me in Studio A are filmmakers Gabriella Kessler and Jean-Louis Portron. They are co-directors of a feature-length documentary titled Braddock America. The film traces the history of Braddock from the French and Indian War through the heyday of the steel industry and its collapse. It weaves together the past, the present, and a future for Braddock, and other areas impacted by the collapse of the steel industry, including North Braddock, Braddock Hills, Rankin, South Swissvale, East Pittsburgh, Homestead, and Duquesne. The film is a collage of interviews interspersed with historical black and white film footage. There's no narrator or off-screen voice, but the film gives voice to the people of Braddock. Here's one of them.
The steel industry in this area was 90% eliminated. We were one of the premier steel mills in the whole country, and we made armor plate for the government, and we made two-thirds of the steel for the Western European War Front, and World War II came from Homestead. And it was a big... So the workers not only were the best producers of steel, but they had a pride that was untouchable anywhere else, and they thought nobody... I would have workers tell me that they will shut down the whole country, but they won't shut us down because we're Homestead. And they had this pride that was just, they just thought nothing would ever happen to them. You know, the whole economy could collapse, the steel mill could completely shut down all around them, but they would still be there.
Braddock America was shown at the Cannes Film Festival and was part of the Three Rivers Film Festival that runs through November 23rd. The two filmmakers have different backgrounds and experiences, but they came together to make this film. Gabriella Kessler is a French-American documentary filmmaker in her 30s. She's based in New York and Paris. Her films vary from short documentaries, or from a short documentary on a baked bean factory in Maine, to the importance of video for an NGO in India. Jean-Louis Portron is a French filmmaker in his 50s. He's worked on a variety of projects in France and abroad, including post-apartheid South Africa. Gabriella and Jean-Louis, in your film, you do, I think, an incredible job of presenting what Braddock was and what Braddock is today. What prompted you to make this film?
So, the French part will answer. It came from France. It's a school memory. When I was at school, I remember my school teacher telling us, okay, you are very lazy, so I couldn't tell you the story of the young Washington killing a French officer in the deep forest of Ohio. That's a French version of the story, of course.
Okay. It always depends on where one's located, how one tells the story.
And so 35 years later, I don't know why, I just remember that particular sentence, and I use my computer very easily, and I found all the story of Washington, Jumonville, and the General Braddock coming to end the French. We were living at that time on the actual Pittsburgh, and the terrible battle. I say, what a story. And I wanted to have a look on the battlefield, so I used Google Maps, and I arrived on Braddock, and I saw this huge mill. And very easily, I discovered that Andrew Carnegie built up here the first modern steel mill, the cradle of his industrial empire. What a story for a filmmaker. And then I learned so many things. The people coming from Hungary, Slovakia, Czechoslovakia, Italy, to work on that place, the union story. So I quickly took my phone after 1 week of small research, after we worked a lot, but I took my phone, I called Gabriel, I said, do you want to work with me on that incredible story? I cannot do it alone. I'm French. I'm speaking a strange English. And let's do it together. Let's work again together. And she said yes. And so we start to work.
So, Gabriella, when you came to Pittsburgh to work on the film, was that the first time that you came to Pittsburgh?
It was my first time in Pittsburgh. I'd never even heard of Braddock. And so it was a new, it was a story I was discovering.
So I guess I have a question for both of you. What were your first impressions of Braddock, and did they change as you made the documentary?
Yeah, actually, I arrived, I was living in New York at the time, so I arrived 2 days before Jean-Louis did. And I remember I arrived alone from the airport, and it was raining, and it was the end of the day. It was about 7 o'clock, and I remember driving down Braddock Avenue. And I thought, oh my God, what has Jean-Louis embarked me on? And the next morning, I started meeting people. And I mean, immediately, it was alive to me. That first impression of driving down and seeing this empty avenue immediately changed, because we were greeted, I think, quite warmly. And all we dealt with was life. So it was... I don't know. I've never talked to Jean-Louis, though, about his first impression.
I came, it was a very sunny day, and the light was beautiful, and I'm fond of sceneries. And I crossed the river on the car with a meal, and I said, what an incredible, beautiful sceneries, because it was... we love that place, we must say. We love that valley. It's in a huge and beautiful place, sceneries, people, obviously. But to see these old little houses on the slope, on the sunshine, it's just, it's beautiful. It's, okay, I cannot say more about that.
So you fell in love with Braddock very quickly. It sounds like you both did, in a way, that it spoke to you as much as you were speaking to Braddock.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fair to say. There's a fantasy of buying a house. I mean, we filmed for a few months, but we would have loved to buy a house, film for a year, and really, maybe we'll retire here.
So how long did it take you to make the film?
We had a month research trip where we filmed a bit, and then we raised money for about a year and a half, and then we came back and we filmed. Jean-Louis was camera, I was sound. And we stayed for 2 months. And then it took us a year to edit, you know, over 100 hours of footage and archival footage and to find the right tone.
So the film was shown at Cannes. Mm-hmm. And it was just shown here as part of the Three Rivers Film Festival. What's the response been to the film?
It's been amazing. I mean, it's funny, in some sense, we've had the same reaction in both places. It's very much a universal story. I think, you know, that's why we chose the title Braddock America, because it's Braddock, but it's everywhere. And in France, what's been wonderful is people see themselves. And that was the intent of the film, was we're telling the story of Braddock, but it's not Braddock, it's universal.
So I wanted to ask you about that, because that's sort of comes through from the film. You're looking at Braddock almost like a case study of the post-industrial city and the changes through which a post-industrial city has gone. And there are more than enough cities like that in Europe. One doesn't need to come to Braddock for that.
Sometimes it's exactly we sometimes it's very good to make a step aside. And you get a much clearer sight on what's happening if you see things which are far from you. I'm not sure to be very clear. Gabriela can maybe help me. But
outsiders have perspective.
Yes,
outsiders have perspective. Well, it's like the story of Washington. If it's told here, it's a little different from how it's taught in school in France.
Exactly.
But the French audience realize immediately at the first screening, it's our own story. It's happening there in Pennsylvania, but it's our own story too. And they could be farmers, they could be workers, they could be... We live that same story, and they are our brothers, they are our sisters. And the last screening we made in France as a premiere in a Breton town, people said, very, very moved by the film, and this, oh, you are going to Braddock. in some days. Please, embrace them for us.
Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that that's... I mean, it's been an amazing thing. I mean, I'm French-American, but seeing all of a sudden this cross-cultural dialogue and put on the same level, it was our intention, but sometimes you dream, and to see that come true is...
And it's also probably very interesting to see this reflection, right? The story of Braddock being a universal story, as I think you said, and one that many people can relate to. John Fetterman, the mayor of Braddock, has received a lot of attention throughout the region, but also nationally for some of the efforts that he's making in Braddock. But he doesn't appear in the film. Did you leave him out intentionally?
Well, what attracted us first to the story was the French-Indian War and then the steel mill. That's what put for us Braddock on the map. And obviously, as we did research, you find out about Fetterman, so we obviously contacted him, and he didn't want to be in the film. And to tell you the truth, I don't think that was the story we were telling. Our story is about memory, and it's about commitment. And I feel like we told the story that needed to be told, and it's not the definitive film of Braddock.
So. Well, you'll maybe have a sequel, right. Braddock America Part 2. Mm-hmm. As I said in the intro, I mean, I think that what you've really done is given Braddock a voice by incorporating so many voices of members of the community. And so it was just a question with regard to him.
I'm so glad you used the word voice, because that's exactly what we wanted to do. We never use the term interviews, because we always wanted it to be a dialogue. And in the film, we don't identify people. We don't put what their names are or their roles, because we wanted it to be a chorus. We didn't want it to be individuals. We wanted it to be one voice. So.
There are parts of the film that are a little bleak. And you know, I think part of the story of this transformation and transition is bleak in the nature of things. Did you take away any things that were optimistic or hopeful from your experience getting to know Braddock better?
I don't think our intention was to make a bleak or optimistic. No, I know. But so it wasn't, we never felt like, oh, this is optimistic, let's take it out, or oh, this is bleak, let's put it in. I think we're living rough times, and so it's a reflection of that. And within that, I think that there are hopeful moments of seeing a community come together. I think that that's, as much as it's a difficult time, I think people walk away and they think, wow, these are people who are fighting. And that's a key word, I think, too, in the fight, in the film, I mean, is fighting. And times are tough, but let's do this. As someone says in the film, and I love this sentence, he says, "It wasn't a natural disaster that happened. It wasn't a volcano that erupted." And for me, when I hear that, I always think, yeah, it's true. And if it's not a natural disaster, that means that we have power. And so I think it's important to remember that.
So it just was released relatively recently. And is it going to be distributed?
So we've had screenings across France, and it's going to be released in cinemas on February 12th in France, and we're looking for distribution in the States right now.
Okay. Anything to add? Any last-minute comment from either of you?
I think just that we're really moved to be here. The film was a long process, but it was also made with a lot of love. And it was an incredible time for us to be here, to live here.
And we've been made, both of us, citizen of North Braddock. Citizen of North Braddock during the shooting, before, and that's, we feel very proud to be fellow citizens of North Braddock.
And let me close by saying welcome home to Gabriele Kessler and Jean-Louis Potron, the co-directors of Braddock America, and thank you for being on the program.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Kevin Gavin will be in the host's chair tomorrow with a look at educating young people experiencing homelessness in Allegheny County. This is Steve Sokol, president of the World Affairs Council of Pittsburgh, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer.